I'm here with the ITF president, David Haggerty. Thanks for you so much for your time. Here at Wimbledon, we've had some great stories so far. Marcus Willis, brilliant one. Juan Martín Del Potro making his comeback. And it does show as well that there are a lot of the players are mixing it, some of the lower ranked ones, mixing it with some of the best as well.
No, it is. I think this has been a great beginning of a fortnight, and we'll have an extra day. We had the extra day on Sunday with more play, but I think you've seen some players that maybe weren't supposed to win that are having some success, and it's good to see. It's good to see for tennis.
Yeah, it's great for tennis because it raises the profile. It gets more people watching that maybe wouldn't watch usually.
Well, I would think that Willis, when he played Federer, was probably a very well-watched match, both here in the stadium but also on television and broadcast, because it has a lot of interest, and he did very, very well. I was very impressed.
Look, huge interest in the Davis Cup, and we've seen that a lot here, obviously, last year, brilliant for Britain, and that's really helped tennis in this country as well. We've seen a lot of chat about what changes could be made. Julian Benneteau tweeted recently, I think in the last few days, about he's not happy about a decision to go take the final to a neutral venue. That nothing's official on this point, so what can you tell us?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking, because it would be good to clarify. The ITF is certainly looking at some possible changes. We've talked about the possibility of a neutral final four, but everything that we do is going to be socialized. So what we have, the board has approved us to go to the market to begin to look and see what we might be able to do. We've also talked to the ATP and the WTA to keep them involved, and we will be talking to the players to get their feedback. We've talked to a lot of the Davis Cup and Fed Cup captains as well. So nothing has been decided. We're merely looking at things, and I think there will be changes, but I couldn't tell you today what it's going to look like, and that's why we want to make sure that we do our job of listening, getting feedback, and making responsible change.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Novak in his press conference this week. He was asked about it. I think he was just asked, you know, what sort of thing would you like? And the fact that the Euro 2016 is going on at the moment as well, he said, you know, maybe something like that, a group stage with quarters, semis, final. Is that a possibility, like spread over just 2 weeks?
Well, I think with the tennis calendar as busy as it is, this would take an awful lot of collaboration with the tours to be able to have something like that. And I think that's probably not a direction that we would go. That would be very difficult to execute. You have tournaments in place. That being said, we're open to lots of possibilities, and that's the feedback that we want to get.
Yeah, similarly, the scheduling is actually quite difficult, isn't it? Because I think, again, Novak was saying just the other day that the big ties, if you're one of the best players and your country's got into the latter stages of the Davis Cup, plus you're getting to the semi-finals of a Grand Slam, a lot of those big ties are following straight after the end of a Slam. Does that need to be looked at? Because he says, you know, that makes it quite tricky. You have to often change surfaces and go back to another surface. It's impractical.
Well, I think one of the good outcomes of our review will be the ability to put more predictability into the equation, because right now you start out and you don't know if you're going to play home and away. You don't know how many times you're going to play. You know that the finals might be in November, but you don't know where. So I think what we're looking at are ways to bring more predictability. The weeks that we're in now on both the Davis Cup and Fed Cup are because we have worked with the tours and come to an agreement with that. But like anything, you need to review that, because those were set. Their time limit is almost up for what we said. We'll either continue them or perhaps move them. So I think it's all about listening and collaborating, because I don't think there's any way to have a perfect schedule. It would be impossible. But I think what we've got to do is work together to have the best scheduling that we can for the players, for the fans, and for everyone.
If you were to make these changes as well, would you be looking at maybe making the Davis Cup and the Fed Cup the same? Because obviously the Fed Cup is one that's received a lot more criticism for its scheduling. We saw Judy Murray resign as the captain. And I know the ITF acknowledged that as well, saying, you know, we know we've got to make changes. So if you make change in the Davis Cup and the Fed Cup, might you make those exactly the same? I think that was Judy's maybe like big criticism. Why aren't they the same?
Well, I think that they could be the same. They could also be different. I'll give you an example. Today there are only 8 teams in the world group for Fed Cup. And I think that's wrong. I think that we need to have 16 teams. I mean, women's tennis is the most popular sport. We have tons of champions, lots of great players. So I'd like to see that become a 16-team group. With women's tennis, with Fed Cup, what we could possibly have are the 3 weeks that we have. But in the third week, we could have a combined semifinal and final. which would help the players with their schedule. They're there for a week. And the other outcome could be that we look at some of the surfaces. So perhaps that semi and final that would be, you know, a neutral location could have the surface of the season, so that they're not having to change, because that's the most difficult thing for the players to do. So we're open to all those sorts of possibilities. So that could be a Final Four sort of concept, whereas Davis Cup maybe is just a neutral final.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually. If you were to have a neutral venue, who decides the surface? But if you're playing them in November, you're playing on hard courts anyway, so that maybe that indoors. And we saw Belgium put an indoor clay court. That's unusual. You don't get many tournaments like that. So would it just be a case of, not messing around with the players' adaptability? We saw Andy Murray say, even consider last year, not even playing the ATP World Tour Finals. He mooted that suggestion because the impact on his body.
Yes. No, absolutely. Surface is important, but also the venue. Because last year I was fortunate enough to be president for the finals in Ghent. They did a terrific job in Belgium. That being said, we could have filled that stadium with just Brits, and Belgium could have filled it just with Belgian. So we can now look at being in a neutral location, having a larger stadium, having it somewhere that fans can travel so they can be there, because we never want to lose, if we have a neutral final, we never want to lose that feeling of the crazy fans in the stands with their faces painted, screaming, singing their national colors. That has to remain. If we ever lost that, we would be doing a disservice to the competition.
Because it's pure passion, isn't it, for the players and for the fans as well. So would you maybe look at, maybe if it was a neutral venue, leaving it quite late to decide where to put it? Because as in like a nice middle ground for those two nations, because it's not football, people. There's not the fans that travel with their teams. It doesn't exist. There are tennis fans, but you've got to try and make it accessible for them to get to.
Well, we want to make sure that fans are there. So we have that flexibility. Nothing's been decided. So I think that's kind of the process we'll go through now to figure out what's the best way so that we don't lose the great qualities of Davis Cup and Fed Cup.
A big talking point we've had this year has been around the match-fixing allegations we had, which surfaced around the time of the Australian Open. You work very closely with the Tennis Integrity Unit. What is the what's the situation there? What's the message to players there? Because if you're gonna get caught doing this, you're gonna get a lengthy ban.
Yep. Well, I think it's so important that we protect the clean athletes, and that's really what match fixing is about, making sure that the less than 0.1% we have to catch them and make sure that we properly make an example of them. It's so few, but zero. We have zero tolerance. The integrity of this sport is the most critical thing for tennis, and we will uphold the values, whether it's anti-doping or anti-corruption.
Yeah, finally, just on the Olympics, the field for the tennis event is brilliant. I mean, it's the same as you'd get a Grand Slam. It's obviously a smaller field in number, but it's the level of competition is huge. Compare that with golf, which is making its return after over 100 years, and it's not that brilliant. Is it because tennis is more ingrained in the Olympics, do you think, now? It's been there for a lot longer.
Now, well, let me give you an example. Back in 1988, when tennis first entered the Olympics, as member nations, we had 147 member nations in the ITF. Now we have 211. So what the Olympics has done is really allowed more nations to be involved, the National Olympic Committees to get involved with the tennis federations, and it's had a very positive impact. So back in like 1992, at a Grand Slam event, you'd have maybe 40 nations represented, number of nations in the draw. Now you're between 60 and 70, so it's really helped internationalize the sport. So I think that, our first Olympic wasn't as good as our second, as our third, but now the players hold high, playing for their country. I mean, it's so important, and it's great to see.
Yeah, because players are now growing up seeing tennis in the Olympics, so they can dream of winning gold, whereas I guess with golf, maybe that wasn't ever a possibility, so you don't dream of winning gold because you can't.
Well, it's great to see and talk to the players and hear them talk about, being able to be around their fellow heroes in other sports and to be able to, be in the parade and walk, maybe be the flag bearer, but just have that interaction, which they would never get. They can't get that anywhere else, and that's what the Olympics brings.
Yeah, it's unique. Just a couple of issues in Rio. What's the situation like with the tennis venue? Is it on track? Are you happy with where that's at the moment? We've only got, less than 2 months.
Yeah. Well, I was down about 4 weeks ago, and I was a little bit nervous, to be honest, when I went down. But now, since I've been there, we've had people going down. Someone was down last week. The court surface is finished. We've had a test event there. The last piece to come into place is the lighting, because we have a day and a night session. It gets dark earlier there, so that is most important. We haven't yet finalize the lights. They're almost final. We'll have a test actually before the fortnight is over, so we'll know that those are working, and I'm sure they will. So we're looking forward to a fantastic Olympics.
Yeah, and finally, what advice is the ITF giving to players about Zika? Because again, we've seen athletes from other sports pull out of that.
Yep. Well, we believe communication and collaboration is critical for the governing body. So what we've been doing is working with the ATP and the WTA to provide them with all the information that we get from the World Health Organization, so that we're just giving them the latest that we've had. And we follow that advice anytime there's an update. And again, I think it's like anything else. You have to take precautions. And if you do, you'll be fine.